94 WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Dominion gets a judicial pass after dumping arsenic into the water. State Republicans say they still plan to obey a court order and redraw gerrymandered districts. And Hurricane Florence weakens and shifts. We have the latest. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, September 13th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
A federal appeals court has ruled in favor of Dominion Energy over discharging arsenic into groundwater from a coal ash storage site. A panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals found that the discharge of arsenic does not violate the U.S. Clean Water Act. The ruling Wednesday reversed a ruling by a federal judge who found that Virginia's largest electric utility had violated the federal law. That ruling in 2017 said that arsenic is illegally flowing from a landfill and ponds where Dominion stores coal ash in Chesapeake. Dominion had argued that the lower court was wrong when it found that the pollution came from a single identifiable source covered by the act. Meanwhile, Virginia officials plan to develop regulations for limiting leaks of climate-changing methane from natural gas infrastructure and landfills. Governor Ralph Northam's office announced Wednesday that the Department of Environmental Quality would begin working on the methane control framework. The move comes as the Trump administration rolls back Obama-era rules on finding and stopping methane leaks from oil and gas sites. Methane is one of the most potent agents of climate change. Officials also said Wednesday that the state will join the Transportation and Climate Initiative. That's a collaborative effort to reduce carbon pollution from the transportation sector. State lawmakers plan to continue work on a court-ordered legislative map. Virginia's House Speaker Kirk Cox announced Wednesday that a House committee will meet September 27th. A federal court ruled in June that lawmakers illegally packed black voters into 11 House of Delegates districts and ordered lawmakers to draw a new map by October 30th. Republicans also asked a federal court to reject Democrats' request that federal judges redraw the districts ruled to be unconstitutionally gerrymandered. Democrats have said the judges should redraw the map themselves because it is clear that the GOP-controlled General Assembly is unwilling. But Cox said a new map is possible if Democrats are willing to work with Republicans, quote, in good faith. Has Donald Trump forever changed the presidency? WCVE's Hawes Spencer has this report from the University of Virginia, where a group of panelists wrestled with that question Wednesday night.
Democratic strategist Simone Sanders says Trump's tweets and his policies have moved the proverbial goalposts.
Things that Donald Trump did in 2016 and even now that would have previously been political suicide for other people.
But Fox News analyst Britt Hume downplayed the Trump effect, even on his own party.
Now, I think that his impact on the Republican Party will last as long as he's president.
Wednesday's event marked the first public appearance of former Trump White House legislative director Mark Short since controversy erupted when he joined the Miller Center at UVA as a research fellow. In Charlottesville, Hawes Spencer, WMRA News.
Well, now to the latest on Hurricane Florence. The storm has weakened, and the National Weather Service, as of early Thursday morning, downgraded it to a Category 2 storm with sustained winds around 110 miles per hour. And the forecast track has moved, so as forecasts shift and Florence trends a little south, Governor Northam is warning Virginians to still stay vigilant, Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
During a press conference late Wednesday, the governor said evacuation orders for parts of the Eastern Shore and Hampton Roads will remain in place. Officials also urged those who have already evacuated to stay away.
This storm remains a threat to Virginia. We expect tropical storm conditions such as high winds, tidal storm surge, and severe rainfall across the entire state.
The governor says he's been in touch with officials in western Virginia, where substantial flooding is still a threat. Jeff Stern is with Virginia's Department of Emergency Management.
But listen to local officials and try not to put yourself in danger. Check on your neighbors who may need assistance.
Northam and Stern reiterated the unpredictability of the hurricane. They say officials will remain on high alert through next week. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
While parts of Portsmouth, Chesapeake, and Norfolk are under mandatory evacuation orders, prisoners at jails in those cities are staying put. And one national nonprofit is crusading to get them out. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
When Common Cause learned that prisoners were not being evacuated from areas threatened by Hurricane Florence, the group asked its members to get on the phone to complain to the South Carolina and Virginia Departments of Corrections. Paul Seamus Ryan, Vice President for Policy and Litigation at Common Cause, says some local jails are moving inmates to higher ground, but not all.
We've seen reporting that at least three local city jails in Chesapeake, Norfolk, and Portsmouth, all of which sit in Zone A, an evacuation zone, that inmates there are not being evacuated.
Those jails are managed not by the state, but by local sheriffs. We reached out to the undersheriff in Portsmouth, Colonel Marvin Waters Jr., who's lived in the area for 35 years and recalls Hurricane Isabel doing significant damage.
We were without power for about a week and water probably for about 5 days also.
The jail's basement has been known to flood during rainstorms, but he says there's a generator and evacuation of about 230 prisoners should not be necessary.
We have enough food for the inmate, clothing, and enough supplies to last us 30 to 40 days.
The city is now busing residents to shelters in local schools, including one which is accepting pets. If things get really bad, Waters adds, the city does have a plan to move prisoners to safety, and some of them may be put to work helping with cleanup after the storm. I'm Sandy Hausman.
When a hurricane such as Florence approaches, people are told to prepare for the worst. But when it's over, if the effects were not as bad as expected, what happens next time around? Virginia Public Radio's Robbie Harris reports.
It's not a problem with the forecast. It's more of a problem with the nature of predictions themselves. Supercomputers can now crunch millions of potential scenarios, but there's always uncertainty about exactly which way the winds will blow or how much rain will fall where you are.
And uncertainties doesn't mean not knowing. Uncertainties mean that we're not sure which path the future would take.
Robert Weiss is Associate Professor of Natural Hazards at Virginia Tech's Department of Geoscience. He often focuses on issues like these in an undergraduate course he teaches.
We actually know a lot. The difference is that we know, we just don't know which scenario or which future we will have given the possibilities.
And knowing what could happen is the key to handling what actually does happen. Even though there's no way to predict exactly which scenario will play out in Hurricane Florence or any other storm, understanding the potential outcomes should be enough for people to take them seriously. Weiss recently completed a study on how climate change and sea level rise will supercharge future storms and cause more coastal flooding if nothing is done to address it. I'm Robbie Harris.
And remember, you can get the latest on the weather and Florence at WMRA.org. We have also posted information about hurricane prep, including what experts say you should have in your emergency kit at home. It's all at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Thursday.